I'm Ed the Sock, and this is Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on patreon.com/FUNetworkTV and through PayPal at funetworktv@gmail.com. Drop us a few bucks. Don't be a freeloader. And now, here's your show.
Not all road hazards are indicated by signs.
Hello, everybody. Here I am driving. Sorry if you hear occasionally like the sound of extra noise, like fans. It's because I got my air conditioning on. Because holy shit, is it hot out there. That's Canada, certainly Toronto. We go from complaining about the cold, to complaining about how we don't have spring, to complaining about the heat, to complaining about the rain and cold, to complaining about the cold, to complaining about how we don't have spring, to complaining about the heat. It's cyclical. Anyway, not that I'm complaining about the heat. I like the heat. I prefer the heat to the cold. The cold, I gotta tell you something. I give credit to the Inuit people who carved an entire culture and society out in the north. It's always fucking cold. I don't know how the hell human beings survive in that, but I got nothing but respect for those who carved out an entire way of life in the fucking living. It's like living in a fucking freezer. I don't know how you do it. I don't even know how people lived here in Ontario when we didn't have temperature controls inside the house and air conditioning. I don't know how anything fucking got done. Now I know why they have siestas in hot climates. Because middle of the day, it's too fucking hot to do anything without sweating. And as many of you may know, I dislike sweating. I find it rather disgusting. Anyway, so let's today start with trying to make sense of Canada's recent statement by the finance minister about the state of our finances. And please, grab a hanky for those conservatives out there who are crying about what this means for their children. Boy, does that piss me off. You know, boo-hoo, we've got a deficit. Boo-hoo, we've got debt. Well, you know what? This whole idea of, my kids are going to be paying off this debt. Yeah, and were you raised in an environment where there was no deficit and no national debt? No, you weren't. Because you know what matters more than the balance sheet? What matters more is living in a society where you don't see people starving on the street, where you don't see an epidemic of homelessness, where you don't have a culture which is predatory and says, I got mine, you get yours, to hell with you. That's a better place to raise your fucking children. What's more important, your kids being concerned about whether there's a deficit, which is invisible and they don't see, or your kids seeing the way people treat other people and what really matters and values, what's valued in society, which is the dignity of human beings and the ability for people to live at least a basic life without begging on the street and eating scraps out of garbage. Yeah, that's really good to raise your kids in. And by the way, do you have a mortgage? Do you have credit cards? Well, if you do, why the fuck aren't you crying about why the fact that your kids are getting less money? There's less resources to buy them things because you have to pay your mortgage every month, because you have to pay your credit cards. Well, the reason you're not crying about it is because you need to have a roof over your kid's head. That's more important than making sure that you're completely solvent and owe nobody anything. The thing with debt is, what matters about debt is it manageable? When, man, the richest people in the world have tons of debt. What matters is debt manageable? Okay, so we got $350-something billion dollars this year on the deficit. Yeah, that's not because the government went crazy spending for no good reason. People are comparing this to Harper. Okay, you can't compare this to Harper. You can't compare this to Chrétien. You can't compare this to Mulroney. Because quite frankly, even the financial crisis that Harper's government had to weather is nothing compared to the shutdown of the entire world economy like has happened under COVID. This budget deficit as a percentage of the GDP is the highest since World War II. And we're basically fighting a war like World War II, except we're fighting against enemies we can't even see except through a microscope. So this is a historic situation of epic proportions, and the government has responded by deciding that, you know what's more important than making sure we have a low deficit? What's more important is making sure that people can keep a roof over their head, people can afford to buy food, they can afford to buy medicine, that they can afford to keep their businesses open. Because all of that is far more important. That if you have a low deficit, but you have an economy that has collapsed, well, you're not going to be able to, even when this whole pandemic is over, you're not going to be able to get the economy to rebound. Because people will be living on the street, businesses will have shut down, and you know what? If people got evicted, they don't have anywhere to live, and the landlords don't have anybody paying them rent. Without the subsidies from the government, landlords would have empty apartments, nobody able to come in and pay the rents that they'd been charging beforehand. So they'd have empty units, so we'd have people on the streets, we would have landlords shit out of luck and probably losing their properties to the bank. How is this superior to having a deficit? It's not. Man, can you guys not understand rhetorical questions yet? Look at it this way. The government this year has seen a decline of $71.1 billion in tax revenue. About $41 billion of that was from decline in income taxes because people aren't earning because businesses have to be closed. So they don't get income tax. That's kind of elementary. They've spent $231 billion this year on health and safety and support to Canadians and to businesses. That's not government money. That is our money. That is our money, our savings, our money, which is being used to support us, our, you know, Canadians and individuals. We paid into that, and now we're taking out of it. It's the same way you might sometimes have to increase your mortgage, refinance your mortgage, or get a second mortgage when you find yourself in economic circumstances. You'd rather do that than lose your house and have nowhere to live. So that's what the government has been doing, and I think they did a damn good job. And here's the thing, the charges on our debt are less than 1% of our GDP. That means that even with the increase in our deficit, we're going to be spending $4 billion less this year to service our debt than we did last year. That's a pretty good position to be in. Now, some people look at the deficit and say that's the measure of how good an economy is doing, which it isn't. The real measure of the health of an economy is something called the debt to GDP ratio. Now, for those who don't know what GDP is, it stands for gross domestic product, which is the sum total of the goods and services produced by an economy in a given year. Now, a low debt to GDP ratio means that the country produces enough in goods and services to service the debt sufficient to pay back the debt without incurring any more debt. In other words, it means we're making enough money, we're producing enough economic worth that we can afford a certain amount of debt. It's the same way when you go to apply for a mortgage, they won't give you a mortgage bigger than you can afford. It's the same thing with debt to GDP ratio. Our GDP is large enough that the debt that we have can be serviced without us incurring more debt to pay the debt. Now, our debt to GDP ratio previously was about 30 to 31%, which is healthy. Now, even with the amount of money the government's had to spend to save this country during the pandemic, our debt to GDP ratio is going to go up to 49%. Now, that'll drop as businesses start opening again and the economy starts rebounding. But 49%, it's not what we want, but it's still within healthy range. We're still in a good place economically as a country. Compare that to the United States, which has a debt to GDP ratio of about 107%. That's right, more than double Canada's. 107%, and they haven't even really spent much money to keep their economy going, and that's why things are crashing. People are starving, people are losing their homes, and their economy is not going to be in a place to rebound. Because when you've got people without homes, you got people without jobs because businesses have been forced to shutter. And when a business shutters, it's not just the owners that lose, it's the employees. They don't have any money coming in. And people who rent commercial properties have vacancies. And so they don't have any money coming in the form of rent. People who rent places where people live, what's that called? Not domestic. Anyway, people who rent homeowners or apartment dwellers, they're going to have empty units too and nobody to rent to because nobody has any money. That's not an economy that is poised for a comeback, because they've tried to reopen and they've had to close down again because nobody's going out to the stores, and the number of cases is climbing and climbing. I mean, maybe there are people in this country who would prefer to see the death rate doubled, tripled, quintupled, whatever. But I think those people are in the minority, and I think they're probably people who don't know anybody who is at risk, or don't know anybody that they care enough about who's at risk, in which case, they're likely sociopaths. Meantime, we've got the conservatives. Oh, my kids are going to have to pay this debt. They always go back to that shit about their kids. Well, you know what? Like I said, you didn't grow up in a country that had no debt or deficit, and you managed to survive. And it's more important that we live in a country that pays money towards things that build a society that's worth living in. You look at the United States, their social infrastructure is crumbling. Never mind their physical infrastructure. Their social infrastructure is crumbling. It's falling the fuck apart. And that's because Americans don't even trust each other. Why do you think Americans feel like they need to carry guns for personal protection? Have you ever, in Canada, felt that you really needed to carry a gun for personal protection? No, probably not. Because we know other people don't have guns, and people here, generally in Canada, we're more of a family. Even though there's dysfunction, but we understand that our community doing well, our neighbors doing well, means we'll do well as well. I used well too many times there. We understand that a country is an organism, is an ecosystem, and that we can't have any of it become toxic or else it becomes a cancer to the rest of it. And that's why we don't feel like we need to carry around guns to protect ourselves, because we don't feel like other Canadians are coming to get us. In the States, they feel jittery, some of them, if they don't carry guns. It's absurd to me. You need to carry a gun for personal protection. Why? You're not living in Escape from New York. You know, you're not living in the cursed earth with Mad Max. You're living in a society, supposedly a civilized society, a civilized nation. But you need to carry a gun to protect yourself? There's something wrong upstairs when that's going on. Anyway, we had some requests of topics to talk about. By the way, I hope that made some sense to you as far as why we shouldn't be panicking about this debt. Because of the government's investments in Canada and in Canadians and our businesses, our economy is poised to be able to make a comeback and start eating away at that debt. And you know what? We had that kind of debt after World War II. And you know what followed World War II? Some great years of huge economic growth and prosperity. And we brought that debt and deficit down to earth. We'll do it again. There's no question in my mind. Just right now, we're facing a very difficult time. And difficult times mean hard choices. The conservatives' version of hard choices is let people fucking starve. No, thank you. Now, there are two people, Alex Ghost Milne and, who was it? Hold on. Sorry, I'm wrong. Hold on. Biff Lannister and at Melanie Piper wanted me to talk about modern monetary policy and howler monkeys. Okay, well, I've done that. I've talked about our modern monetary policy, and the howler monkeys are the conservatives who are sitting there like monkeys throwing their feces because they got nothing else to offer. They just yell and scream and cry about their children. Bunch of assholes. Listen, if you're raising kids and you would rather your kids be raised in a society where they see people sleeping in doorways and on park benches and begging for money, not able to feed themselves, where it's all over the place, where it's rampant. If you want that, if you want to raise kids in a society where the only thing that matters is you get yours, well, let me know where you live so I can send children's aid, because they shouldn't be raised by sociopaths like you. Oh, by the way, anybody ever had a burger from Dairy Queen? I'm just driving by it now, and it says, you know, drive-through, grill and chill. It's like, why do I want a hamburger from Dairy Queen? Dairy Queen, not Meat Queen. They don't have any meat ice cream. Like, why is Dairy Queen serving burgers? I guess because there's not enough people year-round that want to eat ice cream. But who wants a burger from a place that serves ice cream? This doesn't make any sense. You're crossing the streams like Ghostbusters. I'm tempted to try one of the burgers just to let you know if the burger's any good or not. You know what? I think I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to the drive-thru now at Dairy Queen, and I'm going to try the burger out, and I'm going to tell you whether it's any good. Because now I'm really curious. Like, is the burger any good? Do I really want to grill and chill? Let's find out. I'm going to be doing some consumer reports for you today. The victim may very well be my gastrointestinal tract. We'll see. I have the feeling that they're going to taste like, you know those burgers that you get at, like, City Hall barbecues that always taste the same? Over 30 years, every time you go to one of those barbecues, or a church barbecue, or a synagogue barbecue, or anything like that, they always taste the same. Even though the synagogue barbecues, the burgers are kosher, somehow they taste just like the not kosher burgers that you get at every one of these public barbecues. They all taste the same. And you won't find that barbecue, or that hamburger taste, anywhere else. Like, no hamburger restaurant has a hamburger that tastes like one from, like, you know, a Canada Day barbecue put on by the city or the province. It's like, I don't know if they get them from some special place. I think they were all made at once. They made like a billion of them once, and they've just been slowly taking them out of the freezer. It's the only explanation for why there's that uniform taste. But I just did a U-turn. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go to the DQ. I love how companies change their names because they don't want people to be thinking about the fact that in their name says exactly what they are. Like Dairy Queen, they don't want people to think of it just as a place that serves dairy products. So it's DQ. Kentucky Fried Chicken. Well, when it became public knowledge that fried food is really not very good for you, they became KFC. So you're going and getting fried chicken, but you're not thinking of the fact that it's fried because you're getting it from KFC, not Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you know the sad thing is? It works. Because my God, are people stupid. Okay, I'm going to make a left turn here. Hold on. I missed the entry. Shit. I hate that. Now I'm stuck in the middle of the road. Is that an entry? No, I can't make a turn there. Oh, this fucking sucks. Sorry, you're going to endure this journey with me. I'm not going to make you listen to me eat the burger, though. Because that's listening to somebody eat. I once knew people. It was an older couple. And they always ate with their mouth open. It was always... like, they ate a particular food all the time. And I will not eat that food anymore because I associated with them sitting there, like, chewing with their mouth open, and you could see the saliva and shit like that. Okay, I have to go up and around. Wow, there's a whole lineup for DQ. Is it for the ice cream or is it for the burgers? I feel like doing a poll. I'll go up to every person in their car. Hi, what are you here for? Chill or grill? Boy, this podcast took an odd turn, didn't it? Start talking about deficits and debt to GDP ratio. And now I'm trying to find out if the hamburger at Dairy Queen is any good. You see, that's called eclectic. You never know what you're going to get here on this podcast. In fact, I don't know what you're going to get because I don't really plan it out in advance. That's exactly, I mean, Much Music, which everybody loved, we didn't plan much of anything out in advance. There were some things like the tree toss, which were planned, but also not planned. We planned what was going to happen, not what we were going to say before it happened or while it was happening. Just at this point, this is going to happen. We know how to get from point A to point Z. Sorry, it's Canada. But so I just come out here and talk about whatever's on my mind. And right now I'm waiting in line. This is a shitty place to put a drive-thru, Dairy Queen. It's blocking traffic from the Tim Hortons. Oh, wait, hang on. I'm going up to order.
Welcome to Dairy Queen. Can I take your order?
Can I get the double burger with no cheese?
A double?
With no cheese.
So a double cheeseburger, no cheese.
Yeah, the double burger with no cheese.
Just a burger?
And a small root beer.
Are you getting fries with it?
No, nothing else.
$8.90,
drive on up. Alright, thank you. Okay, I'm gonna wait now, and I'm gonna get my burger, and I'm gonna eat it, and I'm not gonna make you endure listening to me eat it like I mentioned. So, I'm gonna eat it, and during the break, I'm going to turn you over to my good friend Max Brand and his updated version of Hinterland Who's Who. Max?
These chipmunks are the kinds of animals that I don't get to see every day in my area. What I do know about them is they love to eat everything from wood to food. I think they eat tree stumps, grass, fruits and vegetables. Most likely to eat a lot of wood. Naturally, these kinds of animals, as some of you folks may know, are wild animals, which I don't think you should want as pets because they'll eat everything, including every wood on your couch, parts of your bed, it's the shelves that have wood, even your hockey stick. And they're pretty fast too. They can run pretty quick.
For a more complete story on the chipmunk, why not contact the Canadian Wildlife Service in Ottawa?
All right, so just finished the burger at the Dairy Queen, and my summation, well, it tastes like the kind of burger that you get at a place that isn't known for making burgers. It's serviceable, it's not terrible, it's not good, it actually doesn't really taste of much. It's like you're eating solid air or something. If you don't have any condiments on it, I don't know if you'd know that you were eating anything. So it doesn't taste bad, because it doesn't taste bad when it doesn't have taste. By and large, it's the same reason that when you go to a Chinese food restaurant, don't order the banquet burger. It's not what they're known for. So I've done the sampling for you. If you ever decide that you want to go grill and chill, and you want to do the grill part of the grill and chill, then the burger isn't going to kill you. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I just ate it. I might be riding the porcelain bus with some volcanoes later. Who knows? But so far, it seems to be sitting okay. So if you're in a place where there's no other place to get a burger, and you got to get a burger from Dairy Queen, it's serviceable. It's food. It'll give you sustenance. But as far as, you know, tantalizing your taste buds, no. Weird thing, though, I noticed on the drive-thru thing, they still sell potato skins. Remember potato skins? Remember when that was, like, everywhere? It was, like, the big thing, potato skins. I never knew what they did with the guts of the potato, but it was potato skins everywhere. Potato skins usually with cheese and bacon, and they started adding more and more and more shit on until the potato skin was stacked higher than your jaws could open. But potato skins were, like, everywhere, and the potato skins went away. It was all of a sudden, like, it was almost like somebody discovered they were made of asbestos or something. Potato skins just went away. And at the drive-thru there, I noticed that they were sold out, but they were offering potato skins. Obviously, they're sold out because people are, I don't know, nostalgic about potato skins. That's one of those foods that was like everywhere and then nowhere. I wonder if that'll ever happen with poutine. Personally, I've never eaten poutine. I won't eat poutine because I don't like my food to look like somebody ate it before me. It looks like somebody vomited. Anyway, so this has been this edition of Show on the Road. And we are launching our spiritual successor to Much Music. We were going to call it FU Music because it's from the FU Network, but decided instead to pick a different name. And we had an online vote on Instagram, and on Twitter, and on Facebook. And overwhelmingly, it appears, we had two choices. It was either Music Music or Mucho Music. And Mucho Music appears to be the hands-down winner. So that will be the name of our new service, Mucho Music. I have been working with new VJs, really from across the country, different backgrounds, ethnicities, sexual orientations, and I'll be working with some more. We may even do a VJ search at some point. But, some really talented people will be initially presenting. Well, I'm not going to tell you all about this show. I'm going to tell you the next show. But I will tell you this, that some of you at least responded to the fact when I called bullshit that you didn't have, like, $5 you could donate to keep our effort going. We're trying to build a level of television or a level of content that's gone on television. Like, you know, the CRTC ruled that the big corporate television networks could put all their money into primetime shows. So they put all their money into shows, crime dramas and hospital dramas and shit like that, that are basically just bad ripoffs of American TV shows. These are shows that are generic and bland, so they can sell them all over the world. But it pulled all the money out of TV shows that ran during the day, or shows that were more personal, more relatable, that featured people who were more human beings than meat puppets. All that programming's gone. And, sorry, I got a bit of allergies. All that programming is gone. Like, from Canadian media, gone. That whole tier of programming that was about shows that were relatable, that were ground level, and, you know, that featured human beings. It was people, you know, people on TV, not TV people, if you know what I mean. And you do know what I mean, because that was what Much Music was. It was authentic. It was honest and inspired and in the moment, not focus group to shit. All that's gone, and we want to bring it back. I know it's a huge task trying to bring back a level of content that has been completely wiped out in Canada, but we intend to do it. We've done really well with these podcasts. Our podcasts are getting upwards of 60,000 listens a month. That doesn't mean we're making $60,000 a month, because we sure as fuck aren't, because most people are just listening for free. They're like what I could call freeloaders. Some of you don't have the money. Don't feel bad if you don't, okay? This is not addressed at you. If you don't have the money, continue to enjoy this programming for free. I'm glad to provide it for you. But most of you got at least $5 that you can give, $1.25 a week. For fuck's sakes, do you even think about that? You pay more than that when you take money out of a bank machine. You know, you're paying the banks service charges, big banks that make billions of dollars. You're paying them $1.25, more than that, $2, $3 every time you take money out of a teller machine. But don't tell me you don't have $1.25 a week, which comes to $5 a month, that you can help, can join, to help us join hands, basically, and build a better machine, build a new, relatable, authentic, honest, no bullshit tier of content that includes politics, current events, music, pop culture, video games, geek stuff, health, science, everything. It's a huge undertaking that we're doing here. And yeah, you could say, I'm out of my fucking mind. And maybe I am. But I'd like you to be out of my fucking mind with me. So help us do this, because FU stands for us and for you, as well as the attitude of FU. The FU is us giving the FU to big media, which continues to produce stuff that, while sometimes good, is mostly just derivative and doesn't tell us anything about who we are in this country and what we can be. And we want to do things that show real people, real Canada, and include people in all the content that we make. So, how do you help? You go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/FU Network TV. It's the subscriptions, the monthly subscriptions start at $1. Don't tell me you can't afford 25 cents a week. All right? If you can't, fine. But most of you can. Starts at $1. And if half of you who listen were to give $1, we'd be able to. And what do we need the money for? In addition, it'd be nice to pay people a fair wage for what they're doing. Right now, everybody's doing it voluntarily. And they won't do it that way forever. But we also have equipment, computer equipment and stuff that needs repairing. And for us to do, to move to video, which we're going to do with Mutual Music, featuring, initially we're going to be focusing on Canadian independent artists or those signed to small labels. We're not going to go with the big guys because they have enough publicity and promotion. They don't need us. Those that need us are those really cool, good quality Canadian recording artists who don't get that kind of attention because there's so much shit out there. So much shit. Especially with music. So much shit that it's hard to find the good ones. So we're going to be curating the good talent, talking to bands, showing the videos, talking about music, helping to introduce you to new music you wouldn't have seen before, all that stuff. That's what Mutual Music's going to be about, and we need your help to do that. So you go to patreon.com/FU Network TV, or if you want to give a one-time donation, it's also very appreciated, and people have been doing that in greater numbers since my last podcast. You give it to our email address, which is funetworktv@gmail.com. That's my network. FU Network, it's mine. I started it. It might as well be called Ed the Sock Network, but we called it FU Network because it's funnier. So, do that. Help out. Don't. Look, if you want to keep enjoying this stuff and not paying, that's fine. I don't have to. I can't give you a conscience. But we're doing this out of the bottom of our heart, from the bottom of our hearts, and out of the goodness of our hearts, and out of the bottom of our pockets. We're devoting time and money to build this, and we need to do this together. Let's just say fuck you to big media, because they think that nobody's really interested in real, authentic, unpredictable, in-the-moment, solid programming that doesn't insult your fucking intelligence and isn't all brushed with some shellac to make it nice and shiny. They think nobody's interested in that. Well, we say fuck you to that. F you. So join us in saying F you to big media and their shitty idea of what Canadians really want in their entertainment. All right. I'm Ed the Sock. I'd rather be a smartass than a dumbass. You should be too. That doesn't even make any sense. You should be too. I told you I gotta work on my my thing. It's one thing to have a tagline for TV. It's a whole different thing for audio. Anyway, that's it. I'm going over now to buy some paints because I've decided that, like many other people, Howard Stern, John Cougar Mellencamp, they've become painters. And they've offered their paintings are selling for whatever, and I've decided that I'm gonna make some paintings and sell them to help bring money in to Mucho Music and everything. So I'm going now to get some paint supplies, and I will be putting paintings, original paintings, up on funetwork.tv, which, by the way, is currently a shitty website, but it is right now, as we speak, literally as we speak, people are working on it. Okay, people, two people. Two people, technically, is people. It's not a whole team of people, because we don't got that kind of money. And the people that are working on it are doing it for free, because they believe in what we're doing. That's their contribution. That's their sweat equity. All right, that's it. Gonna get some paint. Hopefully these paintings will be not embarrassing. You'll be able to see those and buy those shortly. Original paintings by me. Okay. All right, I gotta park now. I'm at the Sock, and I already said that. Hang on, I'm parking. Okay, thanks for joining me. See you later.
This is fun. The FU Network.